You know, anytime someone shares a testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it is a powerful moment. You know, in the writer of John, John, the writer of Revelation said it this way. He says, they, meaning those who testified, those who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Have you ever read that? For they did not love their lives to the point of death. These 10 individuals are going to testify that they have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the finished work, for his finished work on the cross, his resurrection for their sins. The testimony is the reason that they are getting baptized. They are not getting baptized so that they can have a testimony. They already have one. The baptism is the symbol of that testimony. It's like a ring on a finger of those of you who are married. You don't get rings before the vows. That would be weird. The ring is a symbol of the vow you've already made. The symbol, though, is very important because you're going public. It's why I wear a ring. If I take it off, I'm still married, but you wouldn't know, would you? Just like a ring to a spouse is the baptism to your Savior. You want to tell people. You want to tell people, and you want to show people that you do what God says. What a privilege we have to see this symbol and to remind those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to continue to share our testimony. To anyone that we might have opportunity to share. We have much to be thankful for, don't we, followers of Christ? That we have been saved from our sins and that we have eternal life. Oh, there is much to be thankful for. And I pray that you know that very truth. So let's get started and hear these words of testimony. And we'll start with Piper. Piper Larson, why don't you make your way up?
There you go. All right. Good morning, everybody. So I was raised in religion, as a lot of people are. My parents did everything right. They took me to church. They put me through Sunday school. I even have been baptized already. And then I was eventually confirmed as well. I was in youth group with all my friends, and I went on 5 missions trips throughout high school. Through all of this, I never quite grasped this whole relationship with God thing that everyone was talking about. I never felt it. I was always close, but it was just out of reach. Going into college, I drifted from religion because of the people I surrounded myself with. Drinking and partying was more important to them, and eventually it became more important to me. After 5 years of going down the wrong paths and sinking gratification in the wrong things and searching for a purpose I would never find without Jesus in my life, I decided to start going back to church. It was just in January this year when I made the decision. My fiance was at his men's group Bible study, so I had a little bit of time that night. I thought, what the heck? And I picked up my Bible for the first time in 5 years. I instinctively opened it to the bookmark page, and I found myself in the book of Matthew, and highlighted there, in bright neon pink, perhaps left for future me by past me, was Matthew 18, 10 through 14, the parable of the lost sheep. I read it, and I read it again, and I thought to myself, he has come for me. In that moment, I spoke to God, and I repented. I begged him for forgiveness, and I truly opened my heart for him for what was actually the first time. After all this time and all my sins, he came back for me. And he will do so again and again, no matter how many times it takes. Our God is so merciful and loving and downright steadfast. He will always come for you, just as he came for me. And since that night, my relationship with God has grown into exactly what everyone spoke about, but I could never understand. I talk to him now, long and often. My anxieties have become prayers. My once lost purpose has become him. And I give him praise in everything I do. He guides me and loves me endlessly through every moment as he was always meant to.
Praise the Lord. Zoe.
My story begins with adoption. In March of 2011, my two brothers and I were adopted out of Africa by my parents and their very close friend, Shelley Dorn. We were welcomed into a Christian home full of diversity and Jesus. From the moment I stepped into our new home, I knew I was blessed and God had saved me from Africa. Each day as I grew, I was surrounded by countless reminders, sharing verses and thoughts that pointed back to God. When I was younger, I didn't understand because I didn't want to understand. My life was filled with anger and pride. I was constantly getting into trouble, making the same mistakes repeatedly, but always thought my parents and siblings were out to get me. I didn't live a life for myself. I'd lived a life for myself, doing things that would only benefit me. I didn't have the urge to read my Bible or do devotions. As I got older and went through school, I began to struggle with the temptations of the world. I loved having the feeling of lots of friends and fitting in with the people around me. I convinced myself that I can change the thoughts and actions of my worldly friends and didn't want to lose them. I talked with my mom and dad many nights asking what I could do to help my friends. She said all I could do was pray for them, separate myself, and be an example of Jesus. After I stopped hanging out with my friends and watched them continue to live their worldly lives, I felt alone and uncertain of what would happen in my life. I was constantly fearing the future and worried about what would happen in my afterlife. Coming home one day from youth group, Shelley kept me in her car before dropping me off at home and asked me if I knew where I would go if I died. This was a scary thought for me. I didn't want to die. I was too young. In reality, I knew where I would end up if I didn't put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I didn't want that outcome. So in her car, I prayed with her, repented, and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and gave him my heart. Immediately, I started weeping and understood how great his love for me was, no matter what I did. Since I have been saved, there have been many moments where I've sinned and constantly fallen of God's standard. But I can rest assured that God's grace is there for me even when I mess up. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper, to give you a hope and a future. He saved me from my sin and gave me a hope and a family. God has put me in leadership positions and provided a platform for me to share his name and spread his amazing news."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Great job, Zoe. Great job. Ashley.
I wish I could be a little bit shorter like those two. So bear with me here. Hi, my name is Ashley Wubin, and I am a sinner saved by grace through faith. My life prior to salvation. I'm an Iowa farm girl, born and raised. Grew up learning what? Oh, boy.
I do it too.
Yep. Grew up learning what hard work and determination were in school and at home. Back then, you would see me outside working on my left-handed layups for basketball, mastering my softball pitch, or in a school book trying to keep my 4.0 straight A's. I had an amazing childhood, family who loved me dearly, and a grandma whose faith I always looked up to. We went to church regularly growing up, but it trailed off when schedules got busy with sports and school. My high school closed after my junior year of high school, so I spent my senior year at a new school learning everything from new. And then I was off to Wartburg College to do the same changes again a year later. I've never been one to like change, but these life changes I couldn't avoid, so I continued to do what I did best. Work and push myself harder. My striving for perfection followed me through the years. A 4.0 in high school and college, scholarships to cover most of my tuition, but still, something always felt missing. I never felt quite like I fit in anywhere, and I had that constant ache inside. Nothing I did was ever good enough for me. I did not regularly attend church through college, had the typical college experience. My insomnia started, and anxiety and depression were probably part of my struggles as well. Praise the Lord for his sovereignty and grace. I met my husband at college, was engaged graduation weekend, and married a year later. Everything I had ever dreamed of and hoped for came true, and we started building our life together. Somewhere in all the changes, new town, new house, new husband, demanding job, I felt the pressure and weight of it all again and continued to suffer with anxiety, depression, loneliness, and striving to be perfect at everything I did. I was doing all of this for myself and others. The Lord was never the center of it all, and my faith in Heavenly Father were not number one in my life, and it wasn't about a relationship with him. Sounds like a good time to move to a new house and have kids, right? That was what I thought my soul was craving. We moved to Runnels and fell in love with the countryside and wanted to start a family. The pastor from my hometown told us about a church in Altoona he suggested. Mike and I were struggling to get pregnant when I wanted to, so finally together we made the decision to go to church. This was the beginning of God drawing me closer and closer to him. He began giving me his grace in the middle of my brokenness. And I had so many tears in the services over his love for me. God was walking right beside me as I found out on Mother's Day we were expecting our first child. At church, I had just received a pink carnation after crying during a Mother's Day video over the baby that wasn't in my arms. I went to urgent care afterwards with severe stomach pain, and it turned out I did not have cancer, I was pregnant. 9 months later, God blessed us with Aaliyah Grace to start our family. As our parenthood journey began, we became involved with the church. I participated in women's Bible studies. Mike and I tried several Bible study groups, and nothing ever felt like it fit. Couples moved away, and groups broke apart. In this stage of motherhood, we were blessed with our second child, Riley Faith. God led me to take a leave of absence from my job to be at home with my two girls, and the Lord divinely placed people in my life. Through women's Bible studies, parks, playdates, and cookie deliveries. Once again, God was drawing me closer as I could see him walking in my life. Continue to struggle with comparison, perfection, and people-pleasing. Motherhood made it all worse. And chaotic days, sleepless nights with children and keeping up with it all. Another great time to have a third child, right? We were blessed right away with me expecting our third. And this time, insomnia due to pregnancy hit hard. I was only sleeping maybe 2 hours a night, if that, growing a baby inside me and caring for two littles. And then, COVID hit. I knew a third had to be a C-section, so I prayed and prayed this baby would have a father in the room to hold her with a mommy laying on the table. God provided during that crazy, uncertain time. We were all five home together for the first year of Kinsley Hope's life, and praise the Lord, he continued to pursue me because with a newborn baby, at-home preschool, all family at home, and another terrible bout of insomnia and postpartum depression, my faith only grew stronger during that time of isolation. I had friends that stepped in at the exact right time to pull me closer to him and into his arms. These friends I'm talking to you about, God was lining each and every one of them up in my life for the biggest journey I was about to go through. It was around this time that I attended High Point Church for the first time. I went to the Grace event before Christmas, and it felt like home to me, a feeling I hadn't had in a really long time. Everyone God had put in my life in the recent year were in the exact same place, worshiping and praising our Heavenly Father together. High point to be continued for our family. Oh. My husband and I had it set on that after that experience and COVID and reaching our 10-year anniversary that we wanted a trip together. We had always wanted to return to our honeymoon spot and relax on the beach and do nothing, even if it was for a short while. Looking back, I of course remember the walks on the beach, holding Mike's hand, staring up at the stars and the awe of his wonders. But surprisingly, what I remember the most are the prayers I said, staring out into the ocean. That feeling in the deep pit of my stomach that something felt wrong inside my body. On a beach, no distractions. I should be sleeping better, right? When we got back, I felt convicted to take away anything that I was using for energy. Small amounts, caffeine, sugar, tiny bit of carbs. I'd already started some of this, but now I was committed and he convicted me. I took it all away. I lost inflammation through my midsection in a matter of 3 days. And what I thought was baby fat was in an inflamed gut. And then after I took away all of that, my organs and bodies didn't know what to do. Emotions surfaced I didn't even know my body had. Mood swings and irritability were constant. I didn't even know who I was anymore. I ended up being diagnosed with Lyme disease, multiple infections, and I started on detox protocols. What I thought was a physical battle I needed to overcome ended up being the largest spiritual battle I've ever faced as well. From Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. I attended my first High Point Sailorville event in the spring of 2023. And by the grace of God, I came home acknowledging my sin, repenting to my Savior for the very first time. I acknowledged my sinful heart to my holy God. With my insomnia, I was up all night writing everything down, confessing my sin. He found me and saved me and wanted my complete and total surrender. From Colossians 2, 6 through 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. It was soon after this time that I was reaching an end when it came to the detoxing protocol. I wasn't seeing progress or results and felt completely helpless. Oh, but God. God was using my painful circumstances and the people I told you God placed into my life to teach me about sanctification, his unending love and grace, his provision, and my complete dependence on him. After prayers of desperation, the Lord led me down a path that has literally saved my life. After 6 more months of waiting, I was checked and treated for Lyme disease at a specialty clinic. I had it everywhere. Probably 10 to 20 years and more co-infections than one could count. My body looked healthy on the outside, but it was dying on the inside. God didn't have to save me, but he did in more ways than one. His love has been poured into my life through this refining through the fire. And High Point Church has been with me through it all. Meals delivered after my original treatments, prayers, sermons, messages that lined up in his perfect timing. Sarah and Abraham while grieving, how salty are you when I'm drinking pure salt water at the time? And being confronted with sin, actually hating sin in this world, believing it was something that I needed to fix and not knowing what to do about it. From 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. And from Romans 5, 3 through 5, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I've now been fighting and then healing from Lyme for the last 2 years. I currently have to lay down every time I eat and drink to get my body to absorb it while caring for our 3 children and family. I have a long road ahead of me, fighting hard to take my thought life captive and work through the effects on my body, especially my nervous system, PTSD, food anxiety, trauma, overcoming the fear, guilt, and shame that have all resulted from this journey. But although this experience and suffering has been excruciatingly painful, the Lord brought me to a place where I wouldn't change anything for the time I have spent in Jesus' presence. The Lord is bringing me to a place of total trust in him. The pain is a reminder of how close Jesus is to me during the hard times right now. His love and nearness is worth it. Sin is ever before me. Suffering brings out my sin in so many ways. But eternal life in him is available now. As I remind myself of the gospel, nothing is going to be finished on this side of heaven. Jesus has already paid the price for everything. And what he did on the cross for my sin and yours. He has reminded me time and time again, the covenant he made with me will never be broken by my sin. I am a sinner saved by his grace every single time. Amen. He is the miracle in me, no matter how long this suffering continues. His light is shining brighter and brighter through my darkness. I always imagined this day, and picturing it, I thought I would get to share my faith and my body being completely healed, saved from a terrible illness. He kept on telling me to wait and be patient for this. I realize now God has been working more on my heart to continue to die to my flesh, to take up my cross and follow him, trust and believe that no matter what this life brings, he has already done it all on the cross. And I will continue to believe and trust and know that his word is true. He can do far infinitely more than we can ask, think, or imagine. God loves the impossible. But no matter what happens, from Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but you alone are my portion forever. I already have everything I am ever going to need. The Lord is near, loves me, and is my redeemer and rescuer.
Amen. So proud of you. So proud of you. You know, the great thing about these testimonies is we have testimonies from 7 all the way up to 70. And that's God's work in people's lives. Well, let's get some of these kids up here. Evelyn, is your grandpa going to come with you? Or is Evelyn just coming up? Because, Bill, you are a huge part of her testimony, aren't you?
Thankful for this guy. You want me to hold you up? Come on up.
All right, Evelyn. It's all yours. Right, like you're licking a popsicle. Perfect.
Hi, my name is Evelyn. I'm 8 years old. When I was crazy and didn't know Jesus, I sinned a lot. My grandpa would pray with me and still does. He brings me to church and Sunday school. I started to learn more about Jesus. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to save me. I love coming to church, reading and learning more about Jesus. I confess my sins to him. I pray with my grandpa and pray by myself all the time. I am getting baptized to tell everyone that I love Jesus.
Amen. Good job. You got it? You grandparents, you see how important you are to your grandkids' lives? Thankful for you, Bill. Emily, come on up. Mom coming up. All right. You got it.
Before I was saved, I was angry and scared of the world ending. Everyone was talking about stuff like being saved, and I didn't know what they were meaning or what they were talking about. I realized I was a sinner too. I needed to trust God's Son, Jesus, as my Savior. On a Sunday, I told my mom I want to be saved. We went to the prayer area, and I asked Jesus to save me from my sins. My favorite verse is 3:16, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now that I'm saved, I know God is in control, and he is with me. He is helping me not be so angry.
Amen. Emily, good job. Good job. You're great. Ellie Potter, come on up. Each of these kids, I have them write out their testimonies so that they can have it with them forever, but then also be able to share it with everyone here. Are you ready? All right. Can we hold that? There you go. Just like you're licking a popsicle.
Hi, my name is Ellie Potter, and I'm 7 years old. I'm getting baptized today to show my love and need for Jesus. When I talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive me of my sins, I feel happy. Jesus can bring us joy and forgiveness. I have a song that I want to sing that reminds me of Jesus' love. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. Great job. Matt, you got another worship team member. Elise and Elijah, come on up with your mom and dad. So proud of you kids wanting to come up and share, and I know you're nervous. Age before beauty.
Hi, my name is Elise. I'm 8 years old. I believe the gospel is true. I sin a lot, but Jesus was perfect, and he died on the cross for me. Because of him, I am saved from my sins and eternal death, and will be with him in heaven someday. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This year I felt the Lord calling me to be a missionary. I want to tell others about Jesus. I'm excited to get baptized today.
Amen. Great job. All right, Elijah.
I'm Elijah. I'm 6 years old, almost seven. I want to be baptized today because I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am saved from my sin and death. I can't believe that Jesus would save me because I have sinned so much. That makes me thankful because he died and rose, and that so that I could be saved and I and be with him in heaven. Mm-hmm. A verse we have been memorizing is Romans 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous man. For a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us, and that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. And you are testifying, Elijah. You are testifying. Praise the Lord. Ryan, like the great shortstop, no wait, second baseman Ryan Sandberg, even though he didn't play for the Cardinals. Those Cubs. Oh, you're going to need that.
I know.
Okay. Can you see it?
So prior to my salvation, I thought of only myself and by living by money and morals. I would buy things to make me happy for a little while. I struggled with depression for around 10 years, and I was unhappy and angry. The circumstances that led up to my salvation was the weight of my regrets and my mistakes that weighed the heaviest. I could normally suppress the feelings, but this time I couldn't. I emotionally broke, and I had hurt people in the past, and that had been waiting on me, and I went to them for forgiveness, but though I had done this, it wasn't enough. Days had gone by, and with sleepless nights, so I started thinking of options to help me. And I took therapy out of the options because of my feelings towards it. God came up, as I had told myself, and I had just told myself, you're going to go home and pray. On a day last Friday, I went home and couldn't calm down. And I felt like my body and soul was in a battle. I got really bad cold sweats, and I started to hyperventilate. I was pacing back and forth from my room. At one point, I had gotten on my knees and asked God to help me and to let me lay everything out on the table. I wanted to confess my worldly sins. As soon as I had said that, a huge weight had lifted off me, and all I felt was absolute calm. I had said what I had to say, and I had asked God to come into my life and make changes, but I did not accept Christ as my Savior. Between March and July, I had started listening to the Bible on and off, but I wasn't committed to it. I had started talking to a friend at work about what I was doing, and he had invited me to a Bible study at work with a group of guys, and I would decline his offers multiple times. I realized at some point that not putting in any effort was not going to get me any closer to know Christ. So I started to go to the Bible studies at work with my friend. In July, I felt lost and nothing was sticking, which in hindsight, it was my pride and my arrogance, not of being willing to listen and see what God was doing. I said a very foolish thing one day. I'd asked God to allow demons into my life, and after about a week or so, I had said these things. I totally forgot about what I had said. And in August, I started having the worst sleep in a single month that I've ever had. For an entire month, I would be woken up in the middle of the night. I would see demons and shadows of people in my room. And I guess that's what you get what you pay for, or what you ask for. By the end of August, I realized my mistake and the evidence that had come with it. In the first week of September of last year, I had asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Since I have been saved, I've started to read the Bible. I've started attending this church last October, and I enjoy every Sunday that I come here, being able to actually enjoy life and smile and not be angry at life anymore. I've joined a Bible study with a group of guys from this church, and I've been blessed for having people in my life that I've never had before. And now today, I show my continued respect for my Lord and Savior by getting baptized.
Amen.
Good job, brother.
Proud of you. And last but not least, Rick. I think I said from 6 to 70. I won't tell you who the 70-year-old is, but Rick, come on up. Do you need me to help you get up that stair? There you are.
Well, first of all, can you hear me okay?
Yep, a little louder.
A little louder.
Just like that.
Just like that. Well, I want to thank everyone for being here. And all the testimonies, it just shows you that God is at work. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I can get through this. I grew up in a Bible-believing family. My paternal grandpa and my mom's brothers were both deacons in the church I attended. I spent a lot of time as a child with my paternal grandparents. My grandma was always telling me Bible stories, so I was raised with a lot of knowledge of who God was, Jesus, and the Bible. My dad was an over-the-road truck driver, so he was always gone, sleeping, or working on his truck on Sundays. My mom always took us young boys, there was three of us, to Sunday school. When I was about 10 years old, I said the prayer and got saved. Or I thought I didn't. But I really didn't change anything in my life. A few years later, I got baptized and become a member of the church, because that's what you did if you were a Christian. I started going to Sunday morning and evening services as much as I could. After getting my driver's license, I would go every Sunday. I was doing what Christians do, except I didn't read the Bible at home, only heard the word at church. After I turned 21, I bought a semi-truck and went over the road. Always gone on Sundays, so I had a really good excuse not to go to church. That's man's view, not God's. Me and my wife worked hard and were very successful according to the world standards. At age 43, me and my wife started attending church again because the circumstances allowed it, but only once a week. The spring of 2011, I turned 57 years old. At that time, my wife and I were doing great. We had a house, a business, shop, car, pickup, three dump trucks, two pup trailers, and they were all paid for. In August of 2011, my wife died. Sixteen months later, I started a relationship with a married woman, and it's called adultery. About 2.5 years into this relationship, she told her husband about the affair. That's a nice way to say adultery. Soon after, he filed for divorce and moved out. Shortly after that, I sold my house and moved in with her. So for the next 9 years, and I even tried to do the right thing 3.5 years after I moved in, we got married. I've been trying to fix the sin I had committed. My grandpa told me when I was a little kid that if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is to quit digging. I didn't listen. My second wife and I had argued more than we should. It was usually about money we were spending, which caused me to be angry. So in March of this year, I stopped trying to fix the problem, which was all caused by sin, and moved out about the same time as Bob Lee getting saved. 2 months later, I filed for divorce. I was leaving God out of my life. I had a lot of conversations with Bob. He talked to me into going to Bible study at Matt George's. At the same time, he told me of a pastor of a small church in Arkansas, Cagle'sville Community Church, and the pastor's name is Tony Haley. I started going back and watching his sermons from Sunday morning and Sunday evenings. I went all the way back to October of 2023. One of his sermons he talked about when he was age 13, he had said the same prayer and got saved at VBS, but nothing changed in his life. Sounds familiar to me. About 20 years later, he did get saved, repented, and changed his life. That made me think if I was really saved. In June of this year, I spent about 8 hours in mediation for my divorce. At the end of it, I realized I had just lost almost all of my things. I didn't see how I could do this anymore. Later that night, I told God, I give up. It's all up to Him. I prayed to Jesus and asked Him to forgive me of my sins, repented, and I've turned everything over to Him. Amen. I had such a peace come over me. Nothing on this earth is worth losing your eternal life. Now I'm so thankful for everything that I now have through Jesus. He already let the cat out of the bag. I am 70, but I'm closer to 71. And God has shown me so much grace and patience to allow me to finally wake up and see what is really important, your relationship with Jesus, our Savior. So don't worry about what you gain on earth, only your heavenly treasures. And a few days after I had wrote that, I felt compelled to add to it. So I feel guilty about wasting my entire adult life not living for Jesus. I've been involved in 2 major accidents in trucks that I could have just easily died, but I walked away from. So you never know when your time is up. So please don't wait until it's too late to surrender your life to Jesus.
Amen. Proud of you. Good job. You ready?
I guess.
All right. Is anybody coming up or is it just me? Let's do it then. All right. I'll hold down Rick as long as possible. You get in, buddy. Amen. Like a good trucker, you're wearing jeans too. Why don't you sit down?
Oh, I have to sit down?
You got to sit down.
I thought I was doing it.
Put your legs that way. Oh, no, no, you're not getting in yet.
I know.
Rick, it is a true privilege, my friend. I've enjoyed being in Bible study with you at Matt George's. It has been an absolute privilege. I'm thankful for Bob Lee and his faithful testimony to you. I'm thankful that Jesus has finally and did convict you of your sins and your need for a Savior. It's a privilege, my friend, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Step on out and you got her. Just follow right through there. I'm not hugging you now. No. All right, Ryan, come on up. Hey, love you, brother.
Oh, thank you.
You want that? Jump on in. You do whatever you want. Just make sure there's something underneath. You're making me nervous. Making me nervous here. And he went that way, too. So, yep, you got swim trunks. Praise the Lord. Ryan, I'm thankful. You did some foolish things, and yet God in His mercy showed you a different way. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm thankful that you put your faith and trust in him and that he saved you. It's a privilege, my friend, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you go. Elijah and Elise, come on up. And I think Dad's dunking you, so I can dry off for a little bit. Come on in. Who's first? Ladies first, right? So Mom and Dad, I'm going to have her jump in, and then I'm going to have you pray over her, and then when you're done, we'll move on to the next one. Great job. There you go. All right, Elijah, jump in. Ellie, come on up. Praise the Lord, Elijah. Elise, great job. Dad coming up? All right. Have you jump right on in. You want to go on the other side? Or you can do it there? Okay. Emily, look at you running on up. Jump on in. All right, Evelyn. Come on up.
Bill, you can go right here on that side. All right, you got a towel? I'm going to get a towel. All right, we'll get another one. All right, get a towel. All right, Bill, you want me to do the honors, or are you going to do the honors? I'll do the honors. Evelyn, I'm so thankful for your testimony. I'm so thankful that your dad, your grandpa, brought you here so that you could hear the gospel and so that you could put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You did such a great job. It's a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Got it? You go right around, follow that guy right over there. All right, Ashley, come on up. Oops. Perfect. Jump on in. You just lay your finger, feet that way. Ashley, such an amazing story of God's grace in your life. I'm so thankful he saved you. I'm so thankful he's forgiven you of your sins and that you're going to get a brand new body, that our bodies do mourn, and they tell us that we can't wait for Christ to return. So I'm thankful for your testimony. I'm thankful that God has saved you. And it's a privilege, my sister in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Zoe, come on up. Oops, that way. There you go. Mike Harding wants to be able to see you. Zoe, what a privilege to hear your testimony and God's grace in your life. I'm thankful for faithful witnesses like Shelley, who led you to an understanding of your need for sin right in your own car. God is so gracious, and I'm thankful for your testimony. I'm thankful for the privilege of baptizing you, for I am baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go. And Piper. What a Thanksgiving service. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we'll do some clapping in a little bit. Take that for you. Piper, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your testimony. I'm thankful that God led you to High Point Church. You've been a blessing. I love your testimony and how God opened your eyes to the truth right from a passage in Matthew. It's a privilege, my sister, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. We're going to sing one closing song.